Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Welcome to The Default Setting. I'm your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm co-host Gigi.
And we are here with our lovely first man guest of The Default Setting, Mr. Rich Scott. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm pretty happy to be the first man guest.
You are the first man guest. Now, granted, you're only our fourth guest.
Yeah.
But what's funny is I think the second everyone heard that women were doing a podcast, like I had the only men that reached out to me were initially like, I will also be interested in talking about women's issues. And I was like, no, we're not talking about women's issues.
Shut it down.
Right. There are just women running this podcast.
That's so weird. You're not just going to talk about vaginas menstrual cycles?
I mean, those will come up, but okay. It's not what this is about.
I figured that's what this was about. That's why I came
on. Like, well, fuck.
This is not a red
tent.
We drove
all the way up here, and now we're not going to talk about menses. So today's topic, Rich's default setting is colorblindness.
That is true.
Super right. Interesting.
So it's interesting because I probably went a good 25 years before I even met anyone that was colorblind. And Now I can say honestly, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, at least 35 to 40% of dudes I've met that I know are colorblind. It's not that rare amongst dudes I know.
It's really not all that rare. But what you also have to understand is that some people don't even know.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. You know, unless you've had the proper testing, you may not know. I mean, I found out at a very, very, very young age that I was colorblind.
So, honestly, I don't remember. Is this kind of like a standard test? Because I can't remember if this was anything I was ever subjected to in like a vision test.
Have you ever seen those blot tests?
Yes.
Their dots?
Like Rorschach?
Oh, I've done those.
Ones. The dot ones. Yes.
To see if you can like see the number
right. Yep.
In the circle.
One of those. So, that's the clinical way to find out, I guess.
Okay.
But I found out other ways, and excuse me. Actually, I don't know. Have you ever been on t-shirthell.com?
No.
No? Okay.
It sounds fun.
It's just got really terrible, terrible t-shirts on it. But one of them is one of those tests that says, you know, if you're colorblind, you can't read it. But in the circle, it says, fuck the colorblind.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my ex-brother-in-law used to wear that around me. Thought
Did
it was
he translate?
Oh, boy.
Because you couldn't see
Well,
it said
he was an idiot, so... That's why he's my ex-brother-in-law.
Was it like Emperor's No Clothes thing, some thing, where you could actually fucking see it, but he was like, ha ha!
Yeah, that's basically what it was. I was like, I know what that says, asshole. But yeah, I apologize. I don't know what that test is called.
No,
but
you're fine. I vaguely understand what you're, like, I know what you mean.
Yep.
How old were you when you took that test?
Well, I found out before that test, and I'll tell you how I found, or my parents found out. This was preschool, not preschool, because we weren't the Rockefellers. They couldn't afford to send me to preschool.
But because we weren't the Rockefellers.
Oh, God. Oh shit. Sorry. That was really fucking funny.
Prior to it actually going to kindergarten where they test you for that, when my dad would make coffee in the morning, he'd put cream in it and I'd say, Dad, your coffee is green.
No shit.
And they're like, what's your problem? Is he a special kid? I don't really understand what's going on. And then upon entering kindergarten, they made me take one of those tests. And they're like, oh, you're colorblind. Oh, neat. So I had that to live with for the rest of my life. And nothing's really changed. But yeah, people do like to make fun of me. And I don't know why. I guess
because they can't make fun of people who have legitimate, like, I can't make fun of the mentally handicapped. I can't make fun of, like, the autistic. So we have to make fun of the colorblind.
Yeah, it's like you're a over 6 foot tall white American man.
Well, that's
There's
it, too.
Nothing
like,
wrong with
you're
you
not a bad
to
looking
society.
Guy. You're over 6 foot tall. You're white. What can we fucking make fun of you for?
My rods and cones. That's what it is.
Oh, shit. So wait, so when you took the test in kindergarten, was it as a result of you thinking coffee was green, or was it because that was just what they made everyone do?
That was what they made everyone do. Oh, okay. They made everyone count 100 dinosaur figures and do colorblind tests, and I don't know, that was 31 years ago, so I don't really remember anything else they made us do, but I do specifically remember the colorblindness test. So.
Okay, and that was the one where they were like, what's going on.
Yep, you're an idiot. That's what they said.
No, like, I mean, it seems like on the surface it does have an obvious, like, you know, it's an obvious limitation to things, but I mean, overall, I mean, how does it affect you day to day?
It doesn't. Okay. It really doesn't, and... You know, we could work all the way through my boring, boring history of colorblindness, but I'll tell you, the one thing that happens today is at work, I'll go sit in boring meetings, as I'm sure a ton of us do, and stare at a big screen and look at charts and graphs. And my particular company likes to use line graphs. And the lines, they always make them like mustard yellow. And light yellow.
No shit.
And neon green. And I'm like,
just obscure hues.
Why are you doing this?
What those are. They're like, why not? I'm like, because I'm colorblind. You know this. Make it bright blue, bright red, black, and orange.
Right. You know, it's just not that hard.
Ridiculously. It's a computer. You have all sorts
Let's
of
colors.
Let's
do saffron and burnt orange. It's like, who
and
are
canary.
You?
Right.
And also,
I mean, that would drive me insane, and I could see all the colors, but I'm like, these look too similar, and now I'm just pissed off.
Yeah. And one of my direct colleagues, there's four of us that do the same job. One of my direct colleagues is also colorblind, and she's a female, which is strange. So she's in a severe minority.
So how rare is that?
Very, very rare.
Because it's on the Y chromosome? Is that how that
Correct.
Works usually?
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Oddly enough, it's carried by the mother.
Really?
But given to the sons.
Life is so
I'm
weird.
Fascinated by like how genetics work, really. I'm a super nerd for that shit. So is anyone else that you're aware of in your family colorblind?
Not that I know of.
Okay, really?
No.
All right.
My dad wasn't. I have two older sisters. My mom wasn't. None of them were. I'm the anomaly.
Oh, shit.
I'm the weird one.
How many siblings do you have?
Two older sisters.
Two older sisters,
yep.
Okay. So, I mean, it makes sense because they're sisters. They probably would be less likely to inherit that.
Right.
But you just, your dad doesn't have it, grandparents,
nope.
No uncles, nothing
nope.
like that. That's
not
so
to my knowledge. But if you think about it, when you go back to grandparents and stuff like that, did they really test for it or care?
Sure.
Or
did they know or care?
Right. Right. Exactly.
I thought everything was black and white prior to 1926.
The sun used to look
like,
much different back
know.
In the day.
The whole world.
Until that scene in Wizard of Oz.
Right?
When everything became color. Isn't that when color started to exist?
Maybe. I know. Like, they used to have to go back and, like, color the cells. Geech, do you know in this shit? You're more cultured than me. Geech knows more shit.
Pass.
I really meant, before we came here today, to load up my phone with fucking sound effects. Like, I was gonna have hockey horn, a.k.a. rap siren. I was also gonna have,
Rich probably cringed when I said that earlier, by the way. Let's do hockey horn.
That's my favorite thing you've ever said.
I'm going to leave now.
I'm going to do hockey horn. But then I wanted to have like, or like, meow.
You could do your honk.
That's my bicycle horn. I don't have a lot of talents.
Do you guys need donations for a soundboard or something?
Here's the thing. We just started this last week.
Sure.
And I don't know if you guys have found this at all. So Rich runs an excellent podcast that I've been on, and it was one of my favorite podcasts that I've ever been on in my entire life. And I'm not just saying that because Rich was here, but it was super fun. It was called Listography, and you should totally check it out because I also love his friends, Rusty and
Jeff.
I'm so shitty with names because I can picture his fucking face. We just became Facebook friends the other day. But it was one of the funnest podcasts that I've ever been on. I have been drinking for the last 2 hours. So apparently that also limits my short-term memory and where I was going with any of that. Oh, I don't know if you guys remember. I don't know if you guys have run into like wanting sound effects at all on your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because they just did episode 69. And
nah.
I know. And that's why I remember it. Because I'm like, meh, 69. I can't remember Jeff's name, but I can remember it was episode 69. And that's what I wonder, like, if you ever have these moments where like, oh. This is how Ira and the douche happens, where you just want, like, the toilet flushing sound,
right.
The fart noise.
what we typically do is I host a podcast, Rusty says the F word a lot, and Jeff produces the whole thing while he's while he does it.
Yeah.
So we're like, Jeff, put in the cricket noise right at 36 minutes and 24 seconds, and he's like, all
right,
whatever.
You guys are in a band, too, right?
On and off again, yeah.
Yeah. So is it you guys singing the theme song for your podcast?
It's Rusty.
Oh, it's so fucking good. Cool. You guys got to listen to Listography. Like, it's funny because you guys probably do, you guys put out at least one or two episodes a month, right?
Yeah, for the first year, we did 50 episodes in 52 weeks the first year.
Oh, shit. Holy God.
And then... And we never block recorded. We always recorded an episode every week.
Sam the douche that block records.
But no, everybody block records. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But we don't do that. And then we've started moving on to other content. We're trying to expand a little bit. So we're doing a lot of YouTube stuff. We've written a couple of songs. Are you familiar with 92.3 The Fan?
Yes.
We've written a couple of songs that they've played for the Indians and Cavs and stuff.
So great.
And we're doing some, like I said, some YouTube stuff. We have something that we've recorded and we're wanting to shoot video for that we just can't get together.
Yeah.
Mostly because of my puppy, I think.
No. I'll puppy sit if you need me to in order to make this shit happen.
You want to drive out to Menor?
Yeah, I actually do for a puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I will fucking drive to Menor for a puppy.
Okay.
Wait, you live in Menor?
I'm kind of all over the place right now.
JK, remember, he's in between.
We're all anonymous right now. Well, so earlier we did an episode with Cindy and she was talking about how she works for the government. And I was like, oh, fuck, you work for the CIA. And now we have to like be really vague about all the shit that we say. So.
You know, funny about working for the government, we're at me, Rusty, and Jeff. We're at the Green Day concert at Blossom this summer.
Nice.
And we got there right at they opened and we started pounding beers and grilling hot dogs and stuff. We actually hung out with two women from that were TSA agents, and they were the biggest drunken.
Yep.
Party. They were a little loose.
That's great.
There were some loose gals, but we had a great time hanging out with them. Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
But yeah,
that's how I met my girlfriend.
Those government employees.
If your life is as a TSA agent. I can imagine that.
Yeah,
would be
right.
Because
you got to pat down weirdos and strangers, and people are pissed at you like 24/7 and resent.
Yeah, you'd
everything.
Be wound so tight.
Yeah.
All the time.
You're constantly telling people to take their fucking shoes off and drink their goddamn breast milk before they go through the scanner.
Ooh.
I know, that's the thing. I would never want to be that person. I'd be like,
drink
what the fuck you want? I don't care.
They also constantly told stories of, do you remember on Wednesday where there was that fat woman and I had to reach up her dress, and I'm like, so anyway, I'm gonna go get another beer. You guys need anything? You gotta go.
So anyway, the main point I was trying to make is that you guys should listen to Listography, and every time I listen to it, the theme song gives me chills because it's like a blend of like 80s and modern. Like, I don't know. You should just GG
check
it out.
Okay. I'm on it.
Listen to the episode that I was on. It's ridiculous. And the thing is, it's supposed to be an hour, but I talked for so goddamn long that it ended up being like 2 fucking hours because I wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Oh boy.
It was a good time though.
We had fun.
Yeah, that whole intro, and I'll take all the credit for it in the world because I'm here now, but it was orchestrated by Jeff and written and sung by Rusty. And I was there.
Nice.
Jeff is 100% the true musician and the producer. Rusty is the singer. I mean, he kind of always sings like he's in Whitesnake, no matter what we're singing.
See, I thought it was like the theme song reminds me a little bit of Iron Maiden. Like, there's like the run through the hills.
Okay, I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that as a compliment. It's very like there's a lot of like falsetto and just like it's fantastic in my humble opinion, but. I don't kiss a lot of ass, especially for like dudes, but like you guys have it. You have it together.
Yeah,
they have a very professional setup and I had a lot of fun, and that's more than I can say for a lot of shit in the world. So
sweet.
Yeah, no, but I definitely recommend checking out their podcast. They're super fun. And if you guys are going to be doing your band singing, I'll come to one of your shows sometime.
That was something funny that I was singing. We've gotten way off topic of colorblindness.
We'll get back. It's only 9 minutes in.
It was really funny driving over here because after you did our podcast, you're like, oh yeah, and you did your plugs. You're like, I'm at the Avenue Tap House or wherever you're at. And I'm like, oh, I'm totally going to come out and see you. Which is what, when you're in a band or doing stand-up, everyone says.
Yep.
And then the next...
You live a million miles away, so
I don't... And it doesn't matter. I drive everywhere.
Yeah. You can still come. There's still time.
So I think it was, last week, you were Facebook Living.
Oh, yeah.
To,
no one was there.
The bartender and your boyfriend
and my boyfriend and two other people.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and I was, sitting on my couch eating Doritos and watching TV. I'm like, I wish I had something to do tonight. Oh, crap.
Oh, fuck.
But you always get a text, you run into somebody on Monday, and they're like, when are you doing your stand-up again? Right. I totally want to come
when
out and
are
see
you
it.
Do your show?
And I realized on my way over here, I totally did that too.
No, you know what though? So that had a happy ending because weirdly, like 12 people showed up like an hour after the show started and they were the best audience.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And so what was funny is because no one saw Spider and I's initial sets, like that whole set that you guys saw me do for Facebook Live.
They had no idea what they were walking into.
So I went up and just redid the whole fucking set because they didn't see any of it. And they were like, whoa! Like,
slash nobody else saw it.
Yeah, and it was, oh God, it was so great.
That was there.
So yeah, no, but I think, yeah, what I wanted to state in that moment was that they are funny and they have a good band and everyone should check it out, which I'm going to say again later. But getting back to the colorblind, do you have any... colleagues, acquaintances, associates, have you met other people that share this similar trait?
Like I said, the only person I know of off the top of my head is my female colleague.
No shit.
And I think if any of my friends were to be colorblind, they wouldn't admit it to me because they've given me so much shit
really?
For it over the last
oh my
25
God.
Years. So no, I commiserate with her because we're staring at the same line graphs. And going, I don't know what the projection is. Yeah. I don't know what the sales numbers. I can't tell.
I'm just gonna make like a fucking reverse Schindler's list of every dude that I know that is colorblind, so that you can just be like, you can just go and add them all on Facebook. And be like, hi, buddy. Yeah, I heard.
Where do they go drinking at? Like, I'll go hang out with them.
Well, one of them's a really douchey ex, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody, so I'm not gonna do that. But
hashtag
but yeah.
I'm colorblind too.
Well. hashtag me too, colorblind. So no, but like, and I think too, like the other thing, I guess I want to understand more about it. So like, I think, does everybody have a different experience when they're colorblind? Do you know?
I assume, because there's varying degrees, obviously. Okay. There are people that actually see black and white.
No,
that's
shit.
That's an incredibly minute number of people,
I
but
never
they do
knew that.
I have the most common affliction with the red green. And really all that does is I mix up some shades, okay. Right? So it's not like I can't
shades
tell.
Shades of red and green or?
Shades, yeah, going through like from violets to reds into some blues into some greens and tons of different variations. Excuse me. But so I can tell a stop sign is red.
Okay.
I'm not an idiot like a lot of people. I can definitely
see. Okay, so you can actually
see
red and green in the stop lights?
Right.
Okay.
One of the biggest, this is the example I always used to use, and I think nowadays people look at me and go, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But in like the mid-90s, Ford made an Explorer, like a Ford Explorer, that was like, and I can't remember now if it was green, and I always said it was blue, and mm-hmm. there's blue, and I always said it was green, but it was like an aqua color.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea mm-hmm. what color it was. I was like, oh, look at that blue car. They're
right?
Like, what blue car? Like, I mean green.
So no one should talk to you about, like, if there's a crime scene, like, they probably shouldn't be, like...
No. What color was the car that drove away?
No fucking clue.
Orange?
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, orange. Like,
sounds good.
So that's what it truly comes down to. It's just not, like, looking at my dad's coffee that was obviously brown and me going, why are you drinking green coffee, Dad?
So you really, like, in your mind, what you had known as green and your parents had confirmed as green... prior to that, because I'm really just trying to understand, like, because mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's the thing people forget about, like, Spider Jones, who's my partner that does my show with me on Sunday, has an amazing joke about, like, he was seeing Iron Man, and there was a blind guy when they went to see Iron Man, and there was someone there describing what
wow.
was going on.
Oh, okay.
And
that's
at one point he was like, you know, this is going on, and the blind man's like, what's that? And then he's like, well, he's wearing a red suit, and he's like, what's red? And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, he doesn't know what fucking red is. Like,
yeah.
And there's that whole concept of, like, you don't know, there's just concepts in mm-hmm. general that you just...
I actually asked a blind man that when I was little. He came into my fourth or fifth grade class, literally to talk to us about being blind. And I wasn't being, like, trying to be mean or anything. I just literally said, so do you see... do you just see black or is it white? Like, you know, yeah. I'm just picturing as a kid having my eyes closed and to me it looks, you know, dark, I guess kind of black.
Right.
And he was just like, I don't know. And I
he
was like,
no idea.
He's like, I don't know what color you call it. And my mind was just blown. And after that point, I'm like, tell me everything.
So it was one of those things where like, you'd be like, this is green. Your parents like, yep, that's green. And then you were like, this coffee is green. And they're like, wait a tick.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Like, so it's not vibrant colors that that people like me have problems with. It's those real off shades and the different types of colors. So I used to get made fun of a lot. I still get made fun of today by people who need corrective lenses to drive or read.
Okay.
Right? And I'm like, I can do anything I want without any sort of glasses. And you can't legally walk on a sidewalk without glasses. So don't give me shit.
Everyone with handicaps of any kind will make fun of other.
To hate on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an easy target, but, you know, what I would really like is to try those glasses that came out in the last 2 years.
No shit.
I was telling Rich before we started, I watched nothing but videos, not nothing but I've seen so many videos of people who are like extreme colorblind putting those glasses on for the first time and being able to see color.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah. So I would love to try those just to see how far off I am and how much I have missed. And it might just be like, oh, I just see that a little differently than everybody else. Or it might be like...
Or you might be actually surprised, yeah.
Wow. I have no idea
what
I'm
saying. So do you have any inkling just based on like either anecdotal evidence or what have you? Like what... Like are there... Is there like a continuum of color blindness? Like, because I know you mentioned there was like strictly black and white and then there are varying degrees. Do you have any idea where you sit in the general spectrum?
I'm in the vast majority of the afflicted.
So in the middle.
The people that are being held down by color blindness because we're held down so much. And yeah, I'm right in the middle. I joke when I say rods and cones, but that's what it is. It's the rods and cones in your eyes that are screwed up because you ate paint chips or something.
I was going to say, I wonder what, because obviously that is a trait that keeps getting it continues through whatever. And it just makes me wonder, was there ever an evolutionary advantage to that? Or is it just one of those weird traits that, we don't give a shit enough about it to, breed it completely out of, you know what I mean? Our genetics that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, it doesn't sound like, from what you've said, that it makes that much of a dramatic difference, at least in modern life, for you, that it would. And, I mean,
no, you
have a girlfriend, and presumably at some point maybe you'll pass your genes on. So you know what I mean? Like it's not preventing anyone from
No, it's not preventing and what I would be and I haven't because I don't care that much, because it doesn't affect my life that much, I don't do a ton of research on it. I kinda used to back when I was in high school. But I'm wondering if my partner I choose one day maybe carries that gene and I carry that gene and that causes a real fucked up kid, right?
Right.
Does that have, I don't know.
That's a great point. I mean, I wonder if that's how, the black and white thing happens, where you end up having, a history on both sides of, you know, color blindness or whatever the case may be.
I don't know. There's certain shades that I literally can't tell the difference or I confuse them. And not at all to say that I have any type of color blindness.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what else to call it. It's like shades of, certain grays and blues. I had a shirt for the longest time, through high school. I thought that it was white and blue stripes.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody, I was wearing something absurd that clashed with what I was, and then I'm like, well, it's just blue. And they were like, no, I mean, it's gray. Those are gray stripes. And everyone around me was like, those are gray stripes. I'm like, what? And that was just one example, but that happens to me a lot.
There is a game that one of my friends got me addicted to maybe 3 years ago, and it's on any app store, but it's it's literally just putting the colors in order according to their order on a perceived spectrum sort of thing. So you really have to have that ability to be able to tell if this shade of blue is slightly darker or lighter so you can put it in the order.
No.
Yeah.
No
and
way.
I don't think anyone who's ever been colorblind could do that. It was hard because it was like a puzzle. You had to put everything in the exact order of where it would fall on the spectrum. And I could only get to the medium levels before I was like, no, I absolutely can't tell the difference between this color and where it should fall on the spectrum.
I could probably give you bookends.
Yeah.
But that in between,
yeah,
I would probably lose my mind. Because
you would have, reds and oranges and yellows and blues and all that stuff. But the shades would be so very slightly different that it became very difficult to tell, is this what should go before this, before it transitions into green or before it transitions into red? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was an interesting puzzle, I think, for anyone, especially again, that has the ability to see that. And then it would get more and more complex when it got into those varying shades, which I think is another reason why my mind's eye, not to say that it's anywhere near as bad as colorblindness, but like my mind's eye has always had a very difficult time like decorating my apartment or like that kind of shit to figure out like what actually looks good together, what stuff goes, what stuff blends into that whole spectrum because I can't see all that shit.
And so, if you just think about all of the, you know, like the varying shades of primary colors, people probably see those colors differently anyways, but we'll never really know.
Which is mind-blowing.
You can't really explain the color to someone. Like, they could be like, this is like a shade of orange. Yeah. But they could be looking at something that the color could look totally different to them.
What blew my mind is that I was learning about mantis shrimp. And mantis shrimp have the ability to see, like, 380 colors or 380 more colors than, like, what humans can see or something insane. So, like, and that's the thing. The thing about color is it's so conceptual. Like, it blows your mind because you start thinking about, like, wait, everything I can see, it can see, like, 8 times more than that. And you can't even imagine what that could possibly be like.
Right.
And that's got to be, like, I don't know, is it frustrating for you when people are sort of like, look at that purple thing, and you're like, I don't fucking...
It's not frustrating, but what I've learned is that I sometimes have to bite my tongue.
Yeah.
When people start talking about colors, I kind of clam up. And it's not that, you know, I've had a boatload of embarrassing moments in my life, so it's not that I'm embarrassed.
Right.
I just don't want to get into that conversation anymore. Yeah. Her and I were talking before the podcast about the questions that I immediately get. Hey, I'm colorblind. Oh, what color is this? What color is that? What color is that? What color is that couch? What color is those curtains? What color is that thing over there?
What color am I holding up?
I'm not going to answer those questions.
Sure.
And I got to the point where one of my real good friends would make fun of me to the point where start asking what shape things were. I'm like, you're an asshole. You're a complete asshole.
I can see shapes, you motherfucker.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Right.
Fingers am I holding up?
Exactly. But to your point with when you said you had trouble in high school because of a shirt that was
a little it's just certain color. Like weird shades I confuse, I think.
So I'm a dude. I'm the dudest dude that ever duded. So I wear blue jeans all the time. And when I go to work, I have black, gray, and brown pants. You will never see me try to wear blue work pants. You will never see me try to do something crazy because it's not that I can't figure out what looks good together, but I know if I wear black pants, I can pretty much wear any shirt I want.
I basically wear, all black every day. Today I was complimented on a blazer I was wearing, and it's like, I don't know what color you'd even call it. It was more like a burgundy, I guess. I'm like, thanks. This is the most color I have in my wardrobe.
Right.
Like, really? Like, yeah, I don't know. I just like wearing black.
Yeah.
It's like calming.
My wardrobe looks like if the gay pride parade threw up some ecstasy. It's like all colors. And that was the hard thing is because I'm obsessed with color. And then I dyed my hair like blue and purple and blue and purple. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I own 3 black things. And if I wear anything else,
we have the opposite wardrobes.
Yeah.
Mine's 80% black.
Yeah. That's why, now, I'm actually kind of glad to have, neutral hair for a minute. It's not going to last forever, but for a minute, because I really did look like a lunatic with, blue hair and, a neon yellow, t-shirt and, a bright green blazer. And, I look like the fucking Joker.
Yeah, if I had your wardrobe, Jess, I probably couldn't dress myself that well. Well, that's one thing. I would have to call somebody and be like, do I look all right?
Selfies every day.
It'd just be like a game of roulette every day. Be like, let's do this.
Right. This yellow-ish looks good with this green-ish.
You walk outside, you're just like, bam!
I like Mindy Kaling. I used to watch her on The Office all the time, which was one of the shows
yes.
I got on the way over. And yeah, in all of her outfits, she would always be like, bright yellow, bright orange, bright pink, bright purple. And I was like, fuck yeah, which she has literally the opposite skin tone than I do. So I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. But yeah, I mean, and that's the thing too. I have a lot of tattoos and they're all super colorful. Do you have any tattoos?
I only have one at the moment. And it was one of those 18-year-old things
because
I got a kanji symbol.
What is that?
It's the Japanese writing that everybody gets.
What does it mean?
Well, it probably means golden shower.
what did you want it to mean?
It's supposed to mean rich.
Mm.
like as in wealth, but that's my name. And I was right.
So I hope clever.
To be rich one day, and like that's my name. So yeah, it's silly. I have plans for a couple.
Are you new gonna cover tattoos. Up, or are you gonna keep
nah,
it?
Nah, I'm gonna
you
keep like that. It? No, it's fine. It's it's on my shoulder blade.
You
so
seem
I don't know.
Right now. This is
it's
fantastic.
So
he's like somewhere.
18. That was.
At least it's not tribal. I'm going to give you that.
No,
which
no,
apologies
no, no.
to all our tribal wearing tattoo people, but what the fuck, man.
I did not make that 18-year-old mistake. I made the 18-year-old mistake of a nipple piercing and a kanji tattoo. So
I have a lot of friends that did that actually too. I didn't get my first piercing, like body piercing, God, until I was like 26. It was pathetic. And then I didn't get my first tattoo until I was like 31. So, because that's the thing. Like a bunch of my friends all got like the butterfly tram stamp when they mm-hmm. were like the day
oh,
they
boy.
Turned 18, which thank the good Lord my parents were like ugh. Completely over, like I think I had a curfew until I was like 22 until I moved out of the fucking house. So so is yours, I presume then, because it's just like a Japanese character, it's like black and white.
Yes.
Not. Okay.
Yeah.
Would you ever want to get something that had color, or would you just want to exclusively do?
So oddly enough, I hope this isn't too weird. Jeff from mm-hmm. Listography
yeah.
went and got a pretty nice, large, colorful Thursday Night Hero tattoo, which is the name of our band.
Nice.
And I am probably going to mimic it somewhere on my body. You know.
So wait, what is it? What is it? Just say Thursday Night Hero.
No, it's like it's very like.
Jeff, you need to be a guest so we can take a picture.
Yeah, Jeff, come on over right now.
Jeff, get your ass over.
This is live, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's very like 80s. Punk. It's a big circle with stars around the outside, and okay. it says TNH in the middle. It's pretty
nice.
Cool.
Do you guys have like an official logo or no?
I think we did at one point.
How long have you guys been a band?
Wow.
Sorry, we're gonna go down lots.
12 or 14
no!
years.
That's
yeah. Delicious. If you went to Kent, in like downtown Kent, Ohio, 10 years ago. Chances are you heard us on a patio somewhere playing
so
music,
great.
You know, for $12 in a bar tab.
So is the tattoo reminiscent of like the possible former logo, or is it just kind of like you just wanted to get TNH?
It was one of those things where you never get a spouse's name tattooed on
sure,
you.
Sure, yeah, oh, absolutely.
But like that band started a long time ago and we went a long time with it, and that was kind of a dream thing to like actually play with the same people over and over
yeah.
and record music and go to the studio and go to play shows and be on stage at Peabody's, which is, we did all that stuff. So even if we tell each other to screw off today and never talk again, we still did that.
For sure.
Like we had a really good time doing that.
You can't erase that.
If I was skilled enough to be in a band,
you
I
are,
would
fuck you.
For sure get the band
you can
tattoo.
Play guitar and sing, just stop
but not,
being an
but
asshole.
Not well enough. No.
If you saw me play guitar, you would go, "Oh yeah, I can."
Yeah,
be a band.
I can do this shit.
If that's all you have to do, like I said, Jeff is the musician, Rusty's the singer, and I'm the other guy that
you have a tambourine.
I almost did an open mic one night, like almost just like went up and grabbed a guitar and sang.
Story of
And that, I know, I almost, this one time, that is my story.
The edge of stardom.
And then, like, so I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do this. And then this one girl went up there. I'm like, never mind, going home.
That
so,
bitch.
You know.
That fucking bitch.
So I have a 20 or 30 similar stories of almost doing a comedy open mic. Because
have you never done comedy?
No.
Well, you did. So you did the
comedy
karaoke. Yeah.
But. I have lots of friends that do it, and I'm becoming friends with Jess and Jordan and Jeremy, all these people in the Cleveland comedy scene, which is another thing we might want to talk about here
oh,
in a second.
Sure.
And I go to open mics, and my buddy Mitch has done open mics, and people are like, you have to do it. But I understand that I'm like water cooler funny and not stand-up funny.
So this is the thing we were talking about before you got here. So Cindy is a comic.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy and I were talking about how there's really only two categories of people that do stand-up. There's people who have that sort of level of self-confidence that they're like, no, I know I'm fucking universally funny and I can go up and I can be funny. And there's the insane who have no like self-awareness whatsoever and will never get that amount of self-awareness it requires to say like, I'm not
thinking
funny
of specific
and
people
I should
I've
stop
seen.
Doing this right now and do something else with my life. And then there's everyone else who is just like, no, I know I'm funny, but I'm not like stand-up material funny.
Well, but what you have to look at what you do is that you go up and you gig all the time. You're on stage all the time in front of a mic telling jokes, writing. You have made lots of people laugh and you have probably bombed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it takes. Where me, the impression from, you know, you get from your pal or your coworker is like, you would be so funny. And I'm like, no, but I understand the process.
Right.
So I know that I'm not actually going to be funny.
That goes back to the confidence versus bombing thing, like, or confidence versus insane people. Like, confident people can still bomb and come out the other side and be like, no, fuck them. They didn't know it was funny. Or no, fuck them. I had an off night. You know, whatever. And insane people just refuse to, like, acknowledge that they're batshit and have never been funny.
Yeah.
And so, but then there's most people, which is like, there is no way I'm going to make myself that vulnerable in front of a group of people. And especially because I think it takes a special kind of, like, being up your own ass egotisticalness to just be like, yeah, I'm going to fucking destroy. And again, it's either because you have that confidence or because you're batshit insane and don't understand that, like, you're not actually that great. So there's everybody else in the middle, the normal people of the world who are like, yeah, no, I'm okay. But they don't ever think that like they're going to slay a room. They have that amount of humility. They have confidence. They have an ample amount of confidence, but it's not overconfidence that what you need in order to be a comic, I think.
So my girlfriend, this is the second guest spot on a podcast I've done this week. And my girlfriend said, why are you doing this? And I thought about it for a second because I didn't have a very good answer. And I said,
he's a good voice for radio.
Because I have a great voice for radio.
Listen to this guy.
I'm a narcissist and I love to hear my own voice.
Me too.
On my hour drive to work, whenever this comes out, I'm popping this thing in. I'm going to go, well, I can't wait till I start talking.
I can't stand the sound of my voice.
What, why are you wanting to be my co-host, you silly girl?
Because like this is fun and like one of my favorite things to do in life is like interview people and like get to know people and, you know, talk to people. So, but I mean, like even like listening to our last podcast,
did you cringe?
I'm just like, oh my God. Just every time it was my voice.
My voice is so shrill in comparison though. No. So here's the thing. And I think you and I have talked about this. So I was one of those people that I would like con my parents into buying me blank tapes when I was like six. And then I'd be like, yeah, so here we are, WW17, we're doing our radio show. And I would do it like fucking.
But I did that too. That's the weird thing.
And the thing is, I listened to all those tapes like 100 times until they were like worn out and busted at the seams. And at no point was I ever like, oh, this voice sounds terrible. I'd be like, I sound great and I'm hilarious. And that's just like, and I was listening to myself last week and I'm like, I am shrill and loud as fuck. And poor Pete's probably got ringing in his ears.
And I was whispering last time.
Hear that frequency again when like I leave his house every week, but yet I'm just like, no, I'm gonna still keep. I just because that's the level of like conceited asshole I am. I just heard some ringing coming from Pete, and they're like, wink.
I gotta give Pete some props though. I've listened to this. I think what there's an episode out right.
There's one. Yeah.
One. The sound is great.
Right.
He's amazing.
90% of podcasts I listen, unless they're like professionally recorded Adam Carolla show, that sort of thing, I have to turn my car stereo up to about 96.
Because it's like, bah.
Including ours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys are, though. I will say, like, of the podcasts I've done, of the podcasts I listen to that aren't, like, from NPR, you guys still have a pretty good, like, you guys have good mics. You guys have good, like, I think you had a spit screen when I was there.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, blah, blah, blah. But you guys have a better setup than I would say at least half of the podcast.
Yeah, we do, and Jeff does a great job with it. But like I said, yours sounds. Props to you. Back
he
in
the
booth.
He is the best. So like I said, I've told the story probably 100 times before in this podcast. But like the first podcast I ever did was Let the Hate Flow Through You.
Yep.
And it was here, and it was at this table, and it was in this exact seat. And I listened to it, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this actually sounds like. They know what the fuck they're doing.
Yep.
And they do it, they record throughout the city now, and so it's kind of contingent based on where they record, like if you're getting an echo or if you're getting, and they still do a great job. But my thing is that I decided if I'm going to do a podcast, I want to do it, like, I don't even care, like, I knew Pete did a great job with Let the Hate Flow Through You, and I was like, you know what, if Pete has the availability, I'm totally going to just pay him whatever he wants to, like, make this so that it sounds good, because ultimately, what I want is to increase listenership, and I feel like good sound quality and good subject matter and being drunk or under the influence of mind-altering substances is a good way to get people to... My favorite thing, I always think about this every time I go to say this, because my elevator pitch for this show was, it's like This American Life meets Drunk History, where people are like talking about like their
two
deep
of my favorites.
Down
personal I love shit. Drunk History.
But I want it to, because like Cindy, you know, she was talking about kind of a serious issue, and we've had some other people talk about marginally serious issues. I want it to be like, yeah, this is the thing that like kind of makes up your person, but let's be fucking obnoxious and stupid about it. You know
sure.
what I mean? Just like
absolutely.
Be loose and fun and not make it a serious thing. And so for me, like what I always think about, and this is what I was actually thinking about when I was trying to describe this podcast in the first episode, was when you, at the beginning of every listography, talk about like, when I was in an altered state of consciousness, is that what you say?
It's jokes I saw on Reddit while in an altered state of mind.
Yeah. And so that's what I was thinking of. That's what I was literally trying to say. I was like, altered state of mind. That's what we're in right now in order to do this podcast. Because that's the edge. Like, I feel like so many people are like, yeah, we're getting drunk or we're getting high while we're recording. But like, that's an actual like facet of the show, is like whatever's coming out of us is a result of like we've been drinking for the last 2 hours or we've been smoking for the last 2 hours.
Right. Well, that's and that's not like me putting on a bit. For quite a while there, I would sit on my big fat chair, like lay back and lay back and do something.
Yeah.
Alter my mind in some manner. And then I just start flipping through Reddit jokes, which are some of the dumbest, daddish jokes of all time. And then once it started to make me laugh, I'd be like, oh, I'm saving this one, and I'm going to read it on the podcast. And that's where I'm funny, quote-unquote funny, because I tell jokes, I remember jokes. That's what makes me funny.
You can remember the joke the whole way through until the punchline.
Right.
You don't, like, lose steam halfway through a joke.
Right. And I'll like mimic an old Norm MacDonald joke that's 4.5 minutes long. And people are like, how did you remember that? That was hilarious when I heard it 12 years ago. But how did you remember all that? I'm like, well, that's what I do. That's why I'm funny, because I remember things.
I remember. That,
I'm not a stand-up comic. I am a person with a good memory,
so
I guess.
I met Rich. Ricky Melton was actually hosting a show at the Rialto Theater in Akron. And Ricky Melton actually had a really creative idea, which was making comedy karaoke. Ricky Melton recently unfriended me on Facebook.
That's what I was wanted to talk about, by the way.
Wow. Let's jump into that.
So he had a really interesting idea, which was comedy karaoke. And people actually did karaoke routines of comedy like sets. So instead of you singing along to a song, you actually literally redid an entire
comedy. I
want to
do that.
Okay, so Aaron and I... And Rich was witness to this. Aaron and I, my friend Aaron McHugh, who is my comedy BFF, and I love her very much, who I may have told a story about in our most recent episode. But we'll get on from that. I love you, Aaron. So she and I we reenacted Mike Birbiglia's Sleepwalk With Me bit, which I don't know if you've ever heard. It is an accurate portrayal and story of his issue with sleepwalking, whereby he jumped out his second story window of his hotel room whilst sleepwalking. His window was shut. He jumped through the window and fell onto the front lawn of his hotel, covered in broken glass in his underwear, and ran around covered in blood. So I actually did this on stage.
I remember you telling
Rich
me about it.
Rich can attest to this. He saw it live.
Saw the whole thing.
I was running around in my underwear, covered in fake blood, running across the store. No one fucking laughed. No one fucking laughed. Not one person laughed. And Ricky records all of these. So he had his podcast and he introduced it as, yeah, it wasn't really my thing. No one really.
That's
no,
right.
It wasn't really anyone else's thing either.
I remember
and I was
this
like,
dirt
hey,
now.
This is just something I worked on for like a month straight.
No
That's
big
fine.
Deal.
Like, just, yeah, thanks for that. And again, Ricky is notorious. Like, he just says whatever and it's respectable. But at the same time, I was like, no, I worked really hard on this. Please don't say, like, at the beginning of your podcast, this wasn't really my thing.
Let's start off this night.
just so you know,
say.
This is probably going to be shit. Like, I just, that's kind of how I felt like that was how it was introduced, which
wow.
I know I'm being dramatic and whatever. But, like, so that's how we met. And then you did, who the fuck, I always forget his name.
I did Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg. And it was amazing. It was so funny.
So the reason it's amazing is because he is a super dry one-liner. He has passed.
Have you ever seen Mitch Hedberg?
I don't think I have.
I strongly recommend you at least watch one special because it's because of the one-liners, they're so punny And they're so silly that it's just, it's good.
It's like my friend asked me if I wanted a frozen banana and I said no, but I might want a regular banana later. So I said, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, right? I got up and did like 3.5 minutes of those.
Wow.
And he killed.
And people were like, ah,
I'm covered in fake blood in my underwear. He just went up and did a Mitch Hedberg just unfair. Bit and just like lit the place on fire. I was like, what the fuck?
She did like performance art that was hilarious. So the people in the know, like me, who, because I've been a huge stand-up fan for as long as I can remember, watching Comic Strip Live with my dad when I was like 7 years old. So I knew exactly what she was doing.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. And I'm kind of sitting in the back just chuckling and laughing along. And everybody else is just staring like, fuck is this crazy and it was woman literally doing? Like,
I wonder I what think, she what, used for fake
you
blood.
Were there, and Jeff was there, and Rusty. Was Rusty there?
I think so.
Those are, I swear to God, those were the only people I even heard, like, oh, like in no. the audience. And then at one point in the bathroom, because everyone had seen me in my underwear and in fake blood at that point, and I'm changing, and Rusty's wife comes in, and she's like, you did so great! And then she saw, like, my tattoos, and she's like, your tattoos! And so she grabs me, and I'm in my underwear, and she brings me out to Rusty, and she's like, look at her tattoos! Because I have my passport stamps tattooed on my foot. She's like, Rusty, look! And so I completely forgot about this whole experience, and I show up at Rusty's house, and he's like, oh, the girl with the tattoos! I'm like, oh yeah, you saw me in my underwear, covered in blood. Like
the pantsless girl.
The pantsless girl.
I could easily get up and do, like, that sounds more like in my comfort zone. I could easily get up and do, reenact a Dane Cook routine.
Yeah, he's still doing it, and I think he's still doing it. That's the other podcast I was on this week was his.
Okay.
He does a podcast called Alt-Right Libtards.
Oh, wow.
It's himself and his co-host, DC, that they sit and talk about. You know, he's very right-wing style. DC is very, 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 very liberal. So it's an interesting thing. I've done their podcast 2 or 3 times now. But, yeah, you should try that for sure. Like I mean, I said, I don't think I'm ever going to get up and do a comedy open mic. But if you're like, hey, I want you to do the, what's the one I said I was going to do next if I did it? Shit, I can't remember. But he does an awesome Law and Order bit. But yeah,
kind of like Michael Scott during his play auditions. He does the introduction to a Law and Order. SVU.
Similar.
Dun, dun, dun.
Why can't I think of his name? Do you know who I'm talking about? Does the Law and Order bit where he's like, walk around town.
There's a comedian?
Yeah. It's
local?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well known.
Oh, okay.
It's a bad story now.
Sorry. No, you're okay. I'm sorry. I really had to pee and I couldn't help it.
That's fine.
No, so then I have this stupid, it's so stupid. I put it on my Google Chrome as an add-in when it tells you when people block you and unfriend you.
Oh,
and
boy.
Today I logged in and I was like, Ricky Melton unfriended you. And I was like, all right. Like, I don't really know. Like, I haven't done anything to hurt
it
you,
It finally
sir.
Sunk in. You know, I didn't like that routine.
Yeah.
Show.
Like, I don't know what's up with
I
that.
I just want to get up
like, I just,
and
I
do
didn't
the
appreciate
Dane Cook.
That you said you didn't like my thing to introduce my thing, but I'm not like, I don't have a vendetta against you.
So I did his podcast on Monday. And I was like, yeah, I'm going and doing Jess's this week. And it seems like there's a thing.
It's not a thing.
Between
okay,
you guys.
This
like,
is, okay.
I'm just
Let
like,
me literally,
come on, guys.
On my heart, on my sleeve, swear to God, this is all that happened. I messaged, like, I literally didn't even message him. He posted my episode and I reposted the link that he posted. And I was like, hey guys, here's the thing that I worked on for a month that the host said wasn't his thing. Hope that I actually make you laugh. I think that was all I said. And he messaged me and he was like, hey, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. It just really wasn't my thing. And I just didn't respond because I was just like, it still kind of irritates me that like you handled it that way. You know what right. I mean? And again, he's Ricky. That's his thing. That's how he does stuff. I by no means wouldn't book him. Like if he asked to be on my show, I would totally fucking book him. Like I don't have anything against him. It just kind of hurt me that like, I haven't done anything to him, and that his only thing that he went to was like, I don't like your thing that you did. It's like, I spent a month rehearsing that with Aaron. Like,
that's
that,
cold,
that
Ricky.
Was hurtful. Like, I'm sorry that I'm hurt by that, Rick, but it hurt me. Like,
now,
I don't hate
now he's
you.
Gonna blacklist
it just hurt
our podcast.
Me.
I know you're listening, Ricky, since I'm on. So you guys should hug, hug it out.
Hug it out.
Yeah, like, and that's it. Literally, like, I'm not, and I don't know, like, she can attest because she's been friends with me, like, 4 years, but, like, I'm not a dramatic, angry, bitchy, vindictive person. I was just, like, I get, I mean, yes, I'm fucking sensitive, which is hard as a comedian, but at the same time, like, literally the first thing out of your mouth was like, I don't care for this. You know what I mean? And anything else that you've done, because the thing is like, we bought props. I made a fake TiVo to fall on and explode on stage. I had fake blood. What? I was in my underwear. And then he gave me this letter that was like, I still don't think female comics are funny, but I'm sure you're fine. And I was like, wait, what? Like, why? Like, why am I the one who's the bad guy in all of this? Like, I don't know what I did wrong. Like, I really don't hate you, bud. I just think that maybe there was a better way that you could have handled that. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong.
I'm not here to choose sides.
No, I'm not asking you to.
I don't think you're wrong here.
I'm not asking anyone to choose sides. Like I said, I'm not the kind of person who will openly say shit about you unless you were like outright a shitty person and you were like, yeah, okay, bring it on. I'm a shitty person. And then I'll be like, yeah, you were shitty. I don't think Ricky's a shitty person. I just think that there's probably better ways that could have been handled. That's all I have to say. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Like, on record, there's better ways that could have been handled.
Speaking of female comics,
yeah.
I love the what Jordan and Jeremy did to help you promote this with the commercials. And you know who the funniest female
Me.
Comic is?
And I wrote that. And I wrote that whole thing.
And then the that's Jess Dildo.
Jess Dildo.
Yeah, those were great.
Well, because the thing is, like, Jeremy, he's really, like, one of those people. He's like, you should tell people how to say your name correctly. Because people say Falstitch a lot. And my ex actually would just be like, yeah, Falstitch, whatever. And I'm like, I don't like the way that sounds because I'm really snotty. And I'm like, I don't, it sounds like balls itch or like just something kind of gross.
Like an itch.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, it's, and I heard his mom, who is very waspy, like say Falstick. And I was like, oh yeah, fuck. Yeah, that's good. And so like I go by Falstick, but people still are like, yeah, Falstitch, Falstitch. And I'm like, you know what? It's fine. I don't, it's not really my name anyway. Did Pete just say something? I heard like some kind of like
it might have been a
noise.
Who knows?
So yeah. So I was like, yeah, no, Falstitch, whatever. And then Jeremy's like, no, we need to do an ad where you're like, you need to tell people how to say your fucking name. And I'm like, all right, fine, Falstick, whatever, it's fine. And he just literally came up with that in like 5 seconds. He just literally pulled that out of his head.
Yeah, that'll happen with him.
Jeremy is a very, very funny guy. I don't know if you've ever been to a roast battle, Jeej.
Yes.
Do. Oh, that's right. You went to the Canopy roast battle when Tabitha was at.
Yeah, I think that was the first time I saw Tabitha.
Yeah, and Jeremy was there. He did a set. I don't know if you remember that or not, but he's really funny. Like, he's a really...
Yeah, I think I do remember him, actually.
Yeah. So, I forget. How'd you meet them?
I actually, same way I met you at Comedy Karaoke. So,
okay.
Thank you, Ricky, once again, for all the... Because I've been on Let the Hate Flow Through You. But yeah, I think, if I recall, Jeremy did an old Bob Newhart
thing. He did! And I was actually thrilled about that, because I love Bob Newhart.
When I was really, really messed up that night, because I had to get on stage and I wasn't playing an instrument, so I had to I had to doubly mess myself up. So I didn't really know what was going on by the time he got on stage, but then I listened to the playback and I was like, that was hilarious.
And that was the thing, that was what was so hard, is I think it was the first time that he'd ever done comedy karaoke, like that whole thing. And so we were still trying to feel like, everyone was trying to figure out, like, is this a thing? Is this funny? Is this something people want to do? And then didn't you say, like, after you did your Mitch Hedberg set, people were coming up like, you should do stand-up. And you're like,
yes.
That wasn't exactly even my material. Like, right. I was just, that's not how this
I feel
works.
Like that would be the easier way to be introduced to it, though.
Stealing material.
Just using material. It's like, it'd be easier for me to go up on stage and, like, sing a cover of a song as my first time playing in front of people rather than play one of my own songs, which
that's what's different
has
about-
happened before. That's not the actual scenario that happened in my life.
Wait, you actually did a cover?
No, I actually went up and sang one of my own songs.
Oh shit, really?
At the Harp one time, because my best friend made me, because it was her birthday.
Well, mine's coming up, so I'm going to be all like, hey, guess what?
Nope, shut it down.
In a favor.
So that was a very vulnerable thing to do, but yeah, I could imagine that'd be easier. Like, I would love nothing more than to go up and do the Dane Cook drive-through BK Lounge scene.
But
and
that's
just,
the problem is
coops.
That's the coops. Big difference between comedy and music is that, like, yeah, it is very easy to do someone else's shit, which is why Carlos Mencia wrote as long as he did because he stole everybody's material and then just did it. Like, he didn't write anything. There's no vulnerability to stealing material that you know that works. You know what I mean? Versus music, you know, that's
well, I wouldn't call it stealing.
Well, comedy.
I mean, if you're going to an event called comedy karaoke.
Yes. No, I agree.
Like, I'm just saying, like, in situations like that.
Going where forward, though, you have to write.
It's like,
you
know, covering. I mean? It has to be original. In a random situation like that. That would be an easier introduction into standing in front of people telling jokes than going up and doing a 5-minute shtick that I just came up with myself.
Like, I agree. I just think that it's very different to, like, be a mockingbird versus write.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah, it might break the ice a little bit for you, but, like, just
eases you into it.
You can't do comedy karaoke 4 nights a week.
No.
All
of a sudden you're like,
she'll get a C&D letter.
That's what I'm saying. I think it'd be like just a fun thing to experience once and then be like, oh, that kind of, you know, maybe I want to do that for real.
Well, now I know how to get your ass into this whole thing because you're fucking hilarious.
Get your coops and
although
I'll see you there.
Although not my friend anymore, so now I can't get you into comedy karaoke.
You know what? We're gonna go out on a date, the three of us, me and Ricky.
He would probably very much enjoy the prospective three-way that would ensue between you and me and Ricky. His wife's way hotter than me. It's ridiculous.
I ask him to this day how that happened.
Right? Like, it's disproportionate. Like, he's not an ugly man, but his wife, good Lord. Like, that's just disproportionate. Ricky will tell you, I'm sure, that that's not normal what's going on there. His wife is like a fucking 9.
I love seeing odd couples, though.
Yeah.
It gives me joy.
They're interesting. And I love both of them. So.
I have a theory, and this might not be the case for them, but I have a pretty much prevailing theory that says if there is a grand disparity between the physical attractiveness between the two people, generally it means they met in high school or early college. Like, generally. Not always, but sometimes. Because they didn't realize that there were other options out there, and so that's what.
Don't quote me on this one, but I think this was, and Ricky might get mad at me for saying this, but I think this was a shortly thereafter high school going off to the military sort of thing.
Okay.
But maybe I'm digging too deep into someone else's life. He's not here to defend themselves.
No, it makes sense. Because that's the thing, too. Like, oh, cool. 5-0 are here. There's no weed here, sir. It's just alcohol. But that was the thing. Like, I got married super youngish. And not that there was a huge physical disparity, but there kind of was. So people would often be like, what? And I was like, well, I met him when I was like 20 and we got married when I was like really young. So that's usually what happens.
/ most people who are really gorgeous know that they're really gorgeous and have terrible personalities.
I don't
just
know
throwing
that
it out there.
I'm 35 years old and people are like, yeah, you're okay. And I'm like, really? Cause I feel like, I look like a pile
of
garbage.
Sometimes I see couples where I'm like, okay, that person's clearly the more attractive, but I can already tell that that other person is way better and like way more fun to be around, and they're actually doing that really beautiful person a favor by being with them, because it's kind of like a checks and balance situation.
They're giving
them life by dating them.
All right, so I really do want to bring this back to colorblindness because
is that what we're here about?
Because I really don't know what happened there. It was funny. One of my friends listened to the first episode. He's like, this is all inside comic baseball. I'm like, my co-host isn't even a comic. You go to hell. But it probably did get a little inside baseball. All right. So you figured out young that you're colorblind. It doesn't really affect you day to day.
No.
I mean, has there ever been a pivotal moment where you're like, fuck, this really sucks? That, like, I mean, has there ever been like a moment you felt like?
Not off the top of my head. It's really just been the ridicule. You know, I've been ridiculed by a man that can't read about my colorblindness.
Those guys are just fucks.
Yeah.
Like, they're just...
He was the first person I knew that owned a house, and we played a lot of beer.
How does he own a house and he can't read? You gotta read that shit.
He was a concrete laborer. He did okay for himself.
He built his own house.
Yeah, it's stupid stuff.
Okay.
No, but, like, day-to-day operations, it's just... I can see stoplights. I can see stop signs. I can dress myself.
Live.
I can buy sheets for my bed that are black because my walls are white in my bedroom.
I was gonna say, how's your interior decorating situation? Like,
non-existent.
Okay. You don't have like photos, images, pictures, anything?
Like,
up anywhere,
the only thing that I have are things that people have given me, like family pictures and frames that they know would go with my decor, and I'll hang those up and it'll be fine. Like, I've never gone and bought art.
Okay.
Never, not a thing that I'm ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Of. And I'll have like autographed Cleveland Browns helmets laying around and stuff like that, but not.
So, have you ever been to a museum?
A museum?
Yeah.
Yes ish.
Okay.
Long time ago. I mean, I've been all through like the Smithsonian, but that was in eighth grade.
Okay.
Which was.
So, it wasn't like, I want to go to the museum. Ago. Like, it, or like, girlfriend says, we're going to the museum. It's never been like.
Okay. Nope.
Okay.
No museums.
And you have no desire to really go to the museum, or
I mean, I don't know. Is it free?
Well, so the
is it close by? Yes.
As I understand it, the few times that I've been to the Cleveland Museum, unless there's a special exhibit that you have to pay to get into, it's just donations.
Oh, nice.
And they have some good pieces. They have like
green beans.
What's that?
Nothing.
Beans. They have
food drive.
They have some Picassos there. I think they have like.
Yeah, I love going to the Cleveland Art Museum. I've been going there since I was little. I've never really gone to any specific exhibits that you'd have to like pay to get into. And then they have like the mixes on, what is it, Friday nights sometimes?
Yeah, the mixers that are like the first Friday or whatever.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
paying for it's kind of a joke.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't care. Like if I had to pay $10 to go to the museum. It's just like one of those things. Like I don't even know where the Cleveland Museum is. I've lived in Northeast Ohio my entire life.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it's at.
East
but
side?
But if you guys were like, hey, you know what? We're going to smoke some dope and we're going to go to the museum. Then I'd be like, all right.
Yeah,
like,
it's like,
sounds like a cool
where
Saturday
all the
night.
Culture is. It's like. Severance Hall is over there to go see the orchestra.
The botanical gardens and the history, the natural history museum.
I love going to Little Italy.
Ugh, fucking good food, man.
Just eat all day.
But that's the problem. Like this time of year, it would take like a half an hour and possible death to get over there because of snow. Versus and I've ridden my bike out there in the summertime and it's lovely. But like this time of year is just not worth, to me, the price of admission of like parking and sliding downhill and all the bullshit
sliding.
So before I wrap this up, I want to thank so much our guest Rich Scott for coming out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You, like I said, and a million other times during this episode today, you can check out his podcast, Listography. I was on it this last summer and it was super fun and you can kind of listen to, if you're OCD like me and you love things in pretty little lists, it's a very good podcast to check out because they just make like top five lists of shit.
Over and over.
I make
over
nothing
again.
But lists. I have notebooks.
Yeah,
lists,
no, that's
like
me
packing
too.
Lists to do.
And they rate stuff. And what's great is there's usually like the three of them plus like a special guest and they all have their own different like what their top five lists are. So you can be like, what the fuck? How can you say that? And then someone else will already do that for you. So that's pretty fantastic. Are you guys on a network or is it just you guys?
No, we do our own thing.
That's so great. Yeah. They have a really good, you guys have really good logo art too for not being on a.
Oh yeah. Shout out to Chris Fafalius from the band Punchline
nice.
In Pittsburgh. He did that for us for free.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
He actually drew their faces, like their faces. And it looks
faces. I've actually seen the artwork.
Yeah, it's
great. That is really good.
It's fantastic. And then there's just a big mug of beer behind them. You can check out my co-host on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. G.G.chick.
On the Instagram.
Check me out.
She doesn't post a lot. She should because she's really pretty and she has a cat.
Oh,
so
geez,
those are the
thanks.
Two things that you need to be on Instagram.
I have a cat.
Regularly.
Yeah, that's like my entire phone right now. It's just cat photos.
Are you guys familiar with Susan Sarandon's daughter, Ava Murray? That's what my co-host looks like. So yeah, she's exponentially hotter.
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
No, just look it up. Just fucking look it up. I am on Instagram and Twitter at EpicFaul, EPICFAUL. You can check me out at Avenue Tap House every Sunday at 7 p.m. with Mr. Spider Jones. We do a showcase out there, which Rich Scott said he's going to come check out.
I'm going to come sometime.
Sometime, but he lives a million miles away, so I really don't fault him for not coming yet. I want to thank OK Pants at OK Pants on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. He did our logo. Pete Milk, Milky Way Recordings, is actually making this audible for you right now. He's making this all happen. Lousy Weather Media and Above Below Entertainment, El Jordano Diablo. And Jeremy Shear, they're really just, this is the whole reason that this podcast exists. I feel like we talked about sound effects tonight, but I don't know. what one was like the prevalent thing. Cause
I don't know.
Because this wasn't about sound. This was about vision. So I don't really know.
Do you want me to do like a leaky faucet or something?
Yeah.
How was that? Was that good?
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Okay, love you. Bye.